It's a wonderful culmination, I suppose, to be here today and to get to the actual opening. It's been a long journey. You know, it's obviously part of the Te Aro Whānui program, and the journey itself for Kaiuri has been a long part and a long and iterative journey. You know, obviously with COVID and all of the other challenges in recent times, it's taken a while to get to this point, but I think sometimes time is also the best opportunity to actually distill the opportunity and see the full potential. So wonderful to be here and to see actually everyone that's here today. So I run a business called Homey. I've been working with Ngāti Kuri for a number of years now, since the sort of first inception of Te Aro Whānui as a vision and strategy for the iwi. I guess I work alongside iwi using creative process as a way of understanding the full potential of opportunities. The way we see it is that we're intimately and inextricably linked to the taiao in our creative process. And so we use the taiao as a teacher to understand opportunity, and we align strategy to that. And then we look to incorporate design in all its many forms to help materialise it. I think what this presents at its most simplest is an opportunity to understand, in this particular context, the real value of the Far North. You know, we often measure ourselves against the values that get set by systems and government, and yet, you know, the values in the North are unique to the North, and this is an opportunity to start to understand those in the fullest extent and then celebrate them. Kaiuri itself is a name. Originally, the name was gifted by Wayne Petera, and really it was a play, obviously, on the Kauri factory that once stood on these grounds, the ancient Kauri kingdom, but also Kauri, to ignite that descendancy and identity, is all about the building of connectivity to the muri whenua, and from the muri whenua to the world. And so that ability to build, I guess, social and cultural capital through a facility like this is what's most important. Yeah, well, this is a gateway, I suppose. You know, it's connectivity to the muri whenua, and all of the iwi of the muri whenua is intrinsically important. It becomes a foundation for, I guess, a frame of reference, a lens to see the Far North, a way of understanding its uniqueness and all of those pūrākau and histories that typify its uniqueness. So it's an opportunity, I think, most importantly for people to bring it alive. You know, the centre itself is important, Kauri is important as a physical structure, but actually the most important thing is the stories that permeate it and the people that move through here and represent the multitude of pathways moving forward, Te Aro Whānui. You know what, stories of the whenua and of the mōna are irrelevant unless they're voiced through tangata whenua. You know, that association, the fact that our knowledge has been structured through our relationship with the taiao intergenerationally, it's formed on lived experience. That level of intimacy with the kōrero of a space can never be understood without the lens of the people who have lived on that land and fished in those waters. And so I think the uniqueness is often in the subtleties and in the implicit parts of things that we do, and actually really sometimes really find hard to see these days because we live such a disassociated life. And so that ability to re-tether and to actually build off a strong base of lived experience in whakapapa is critical. Hey, look, this is employment comes in obviously many forms and scales and sizes, and I think it's a fundamental aspect of the broader concept of well-being, but also, you know, the well-being that arises through the knowledge and association to whenua, mōna, and of your histories is equally important. I think it's the collective of all those things. You know, we often buy into concepts that are not ours, you know, these frameworks that actually perpetuate disassociation. You know, we're told we can't commercialise culture. There's always a way. Our people were always entrepreneurial. The conversation's not about commercialisation of culture, it's about reculturalisation of commerce. When we start to change our concepts of time, our relationships to issues like distance, people say, oh, the Far North is, you know, it's so far away. But, you know, when you go to Jerusalem to visit the sacred sites there, it's termed a pilgrimage. And so I think it's about changing the mindset and understanding the intrinsic value of the muri whenua in order to engage with it and create employment opportunities and well-being. Those things come off a recalibrated focus of what's actually fundamentally important up here. The North is not new to innovation. You know, I always, being from the East Coast, I always looked at the North and seen them as a rohe of first movers. You know, whether it was the whakaputanga, whether it was the tiriti, whether it was the early adoption of Christianity. The North is a rohe of first movers, and I think that that's really important to remember moving forward, is that that space of innovation and being a collective of first movers is fundamental to the history and the DNA of this place. Look, I think in the Māori whenua it's fundamental. I think for all iwi, I think for all individuals, understanding that identity, while it operates as a collective, is deeply personal. You know, I would suggest that everybody's identity is different, and that we have to be really careful of the perils of homogeny, and it doesn't mean that we don't work as collectives. So whether it's at an iwi level, a hapū level, whether it's at a rohe level, whether it's at a whānau level, and even down to an individual level, there's always a tension that exists between being self-determined as an individual and moving as a collective, whatever that collective might be. I think the opportunity in and around the shared narratives of the Māori whenua are profound, and I think that there's an incredibly rich base to work off, to draw on history to understand how we've done it historically. Look, when Manuhiri come to Kauri, they're going to be introduced to a way of understanding human relationship to the taiao, to the natural world. They're going to understand a way of rationalising, conceptualising their place within it, and through the histories and layers that kaimahi here will, kaiarihi here will add, it's about trying to offer a way of lensing our individual and collective places in the world. You know, the taiao's our greatest teacher. Again, you know, we have quite a high degree at a global level of disassociation with the taiao, understanding that the taiao doesn't exist as a resource, which is how we typically categorise it, but as something that we're an extension of. We are the taiao, we are the natural world, we don't sit above it, and so we have to stop doing that, and we actually have to start understanding that we're intimately and inextricably bound to it. And I think if visitors can come away from here understanding that simple message, then as they move north or as they move south after being north, I hope that they carry with them a different relationship to who they are and how they exist, and their responsibilities that exist within the world we all live in. The most exciting thing for me about this kaupapa, without doubt, is the Tai Tamariki, is the rangatahi, the fourth gen, as Ngāti Kuri call their rōpū, four generations since Y262 claim, for example, and this the self-determination of the young people to understand that their identity is their birthright, and that their identity is something they will fight for, and they will give voice to, and they'll be proud of. And so for me, the pride that comes from such a staunch stand is the most exciting thing moving forward, because it shows that we're in good hands with future generations.